Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin and
Dr. Richard Tooley.
Welcome to Education Currents. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and here today with me we have Billy Sprague. And I'm going to just start it off by saying, okay, give me a little bio about you.
Well, and you know, everybody has a story, and I have a story and a grace story, you know. The nuts and bolts, I was raised in Texas, and went to college with some people who the Lord tapped to move to Nashville years ago, and they became very instrumental in Christian music. And one of them, Mike Blanton, invited me here in 1981 to play guitar with Amy Grant. And I was actually studying English. I thought I was going to be an English teacher. But I was a musician, too. And when I got that chance that, as Mike said, we want to communicate the gospel in a fresh way through music, I went, wow, I'm in. So moved down here to Nashville in 1981, Groundhog's Day, and stayed 25 years. And it was a great adventure with Reunion Records and, you know, Michael W. Smith and Kathy Tricoli, Rich Mullins. And we were all on the road and, you know, stomping around the planet thinking, you know, we're going to change the world one song at a time. And it was an exciting foundational time. Did a lot of recording. Had some heartache. I had a fiance who was killed in a car wreck in 1989, and really tested my faith. You know, is God, he's there, but does he have a steady hand on the universe?
Yeah.
And he does. And met my wife a couple of years later. We've been married 20 years now, have three beautiful kids, spectacular kids. And I transitioned from Nashville to be a worship leader for 8 years at a church in Denver, and now we've just moved to New Smyrna Beach, where I'm the worship pastor at a Edgewater Alliance Church, just south of Daytona. So we moved from the mountains to the beach.
That's quite a shift, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You have some pretty good songs to your credit. And I was looking through here, I saw like Via Dolorosa. And
yeah, that's one that really keeps going because the story is so powerful. I sat down and wrote it one day with a guy named Niles Borup, who had that idea on his brainstorm page, and I'd had enough, you know, Latin and Spanish to know that means the way of suffering or the way of sorrow. He had seen a report from Jerusalem that Easter, and a reporter standing, you know, with a microphone on the Via Dolorosa, telling the story. This is where Jesus carried the cross. So we didn't, you know, just kicked it off in A minor, describing what happened, and you know, we thought the song came together pretty well. And the next day, it was on hold with Sandy Patty and her producer, and the next year, it won the Song of the Year, and you know, three Miss Americas have used it. You know, some of them, Heather Whitestone won Miss America dancing to Via Dolorosa, and she was deaf.
Wow, that would be tough.
Yeah, so the Lord, you know, I kind of feel like I'm just, as a songwriter, I was kind of like the little boy who brought his fish and loaves to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied it, you know. And so God, yeah, songwriting I've always loved because it, And this music thing, because the music can go so far beyond you, especially recorded and through the radio like you guys do. You can shoot those arrows into people's worlds, and they get a good ambush the gospel.
And you're talking about all of the songs that have been sung by all those people. Think of all of the millions of people who sing those songs in church.
Right. Right. And that Sandy Patty did such a good job on that, and Greg Nelson, they translated part of it into Spanish, so it automatically went into the Latin speaking world as well, and I get, you know, notifications that it, you know, it blew up in Brazil last year because somebody re-recorded it, and so it just keeps retelling the powerful story of what Christ did for us.
Isn't that an amazing thing about music?
It is. It gets in, it gets in, it gets in. And early on, I had a song called "Can You Reach My Friend" that Debbie Boone recorded, and then I began to record my own music and my own songs. But I still love the songwriting aspect.
So that probably goes back to your English.
Yeah, just that creative side.
Do you ever regret not being an English teacher?
No, I don't. I don't regret, because the path the Lord has given me has been so exhilarating, and you know, we just want to feel well applied to the mission, whether we're in teaching in class or delivering songs or recording, you want to feel like you're doing something that matters.
So did you just have an aha moment at that point where you said, you know, I'm gonna get out of the non-traditional rut and I'm gonna go do this music thing?
Well, I had a friend who invited me, you know, to Nashville and really challenged me, and his sister sat me down and read me the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, which basically, she paraphrased it and said, if you don't do something with the music God's given you, he's going to be hacked. He's not going to be pleased, because he entrusts you with a gift or a talent or a resource, and he expects you to do something with it. And it's not you won't be saved if you don't, but he gives me something to do, to plow a field, to use my musical gifting, which I'm trying to instill. My daughter sings two songs on this new project, and I'm trying to light a fire into her because she's gifted, and my son is a great drummer. Whether you just lead worship at your church the rest of your life, or if you go into recording or musical missions or music of any kind, God expects you to do something with his gift.
So why Christian music?
That's a really good question. My brother often wondered why I didn't just go, you know, try to be the next James Taylor and be rich and famous and sing to people. And I love doing life songs and stuff, but I felt a specific calling, especially in the early 80s. I think God was going to really use music to communicate the gospel to a media-saturated culture, and it's even more so now with the digital delivery. Everybody, you know, can download any song they want anywhere they are, or listen on all these subscription.
Even their telephone rings.
Yeah, the telephone. So Christian music, because I felt called to do something for the Lord with my gifting, and I didn't know. My dad was very skeptical about how are you going to make a living in Christian music. And then he saw us in concert. I was playing guitar with Amy Grant, and it was Michael W. Smith, and he goes, boy, this is pretty organized. This is pretty big. You know, the people are paying tickets to see this, you know. So, and you could sell some music, and the pennies could come back to you. And, you know, you cast your musical bread on the water, and the Lord will return it after a while. So it is, you know, one of my wife's least favorite words is freelance. It's a freelance lifestyle. You don't know where there's not consistent paychecks, you know.
Yeah, there's no, my check's here on Friday. I'm happy.
That's
now.
Right. So when we transitioned into the church, you know, as a worship leader, you know, we got direct deposit every second and fourth Friday was a new thing for us.
Yeah, it would have been easy to get used to that.
Yeah, and it is. And I'm on staff again at a church in New Smyrna Beach and have a salary. But I do the music thing. I still get some royalties that come quarterly and from different songs like Via Dolorosa. And so all those streams add up. But my part is just I have to do something with the music, and that's why the new project. I've harvested about 12 songs of the ones I've written over the last years that people have responded to, and did a Kickstarter campaign last year, and the network out there that, you know, supports what I do responded and sent the money in, and we were able to complete this project.
You haven't been in the recording side of things for a while now.
Right. And so we released the first single, you know, I call it my first radio single of the new century, you know. So we released the first song, Life Begins Now, which is an Easter-related song in this ramp up toward Easter. So it went out February 17th, and I'm already getting emails from Scotland and different places that are playing it. So the electrons can reach the uttermost parts of the world, and I don't have to go there.
Yeah. So does it feel good to get back into the studio a little bit?
It does. It feels tremendous to... You write a song, it's kind of a sketch, and then my great co-producer, Jim Frazier, who's a great guitarist, piano player, he adds his... He builds, you know... I just bring him the scaffolding, and he builds the building, you know, with the song. And it's a wonderful creative process to see what it turns into. Should this have a violin? Should this have an electric guitar? And one of the great joys is my daughter sings on this project. She sings two of the songs. She sings harmonies throughout. Just to be sitting at the console, and she's on the microphone, and I'm not. What a great joy.
It's kind of cool, isn't it, to watch to watch the next generation catch the vision.
It is a blessing beyond description to know that, and it's a God thing. You can't make it happen. God made her musical, and he made her, she has a shining faith, and she wants to serve the Lord in missions or something, and just to see her give that gift is really good for a daddy's heart.
So as you think about it, what inspires you to write a song? What is it that you sit down, I think I'll write a song today, or is there how is it that you come up with, all of a sudden you've got this melody and then you've got these words that are fitting with it. How do you get to that point?
Well, all kinds of things spark songs. You know, just a couple of years ago, thinking of Willow leaving someday, I got really sad about that. And I sat down and wrote a song called Fly Away that I know you're going to fly away someday. And a lot of daddies have to go through that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Butterfly Kisses, prime example. The song went through the roof, right? Because any daddy who had eyelashes was a target market. And you have that soft spot in your heart. So I wrote a song recently out of Psalm 139, which is one of my favorite psalms, simply called Search Me, because I was reading it. And I woke up and this little melody was going through my head. And then I read Psalm 139 and the lyric content matched the music. So then once the inspiration happens, you have to sit down and, you know, the work begins. The crafting begins of what does the chorus sound like? What's the shape of the verse? How many verses should it have? Does it need a bridge? You know, a different musical idea?
Yeah.
How does it kick off? How do you end it? Is it singable? And so it's a crafting thing that you can learn to do better, but mainly you have to learn to hear. And my favorite songwriter scripture is Psalm 45:1 that says, "My heart overflows with a noble theme as I recite my verse for the king, and my tongue is the pen of a skillful writer." So that means you're listening, right? You're listening for something, something floats in, and you capture it in a rhyming verse, and your audience really ultimately is the Lord. And he's inspiring that. The Spirit's always trying to telegraph his stuff and, hey, notice this, notice that. When somebody comes to mind, you're probably supposed to give them a phone call, right?
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is always trying to telegraph his stuff. And for creative types who are songwriters, we're always looking for that spark of, oh, man, there's a song in there, I got to write that. So they come from mainly they come from real life and things you feel deeply. They come from scripture, from movies, from, the inspiration is really everywhere if you stay in tune for it.
If you could talk to that young man or young woman out there about the age of 15, 16, 17 years of age, they're just starting to come into their own, their brains are starting to tell them that they're individuals.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. Most of them are thinking, where am I going to be? What am I going to do? You know, they're starting to, those thoughts pop into their head. What kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, you have to learn to listen. I think Frederick Buechner has a wonderful expression called listening to your life. You know, where have you come from? What's God putting on your radar? What do you get joy from? What do you feel wired for? And if you don't, you begin to just ask the Lord, Lord, you made me for a purpose. What did you gift me with? What's my skill set? What do I get? What taps my passion and my compassion? What do I care about? And then you have to sort that out. I mean, you know, you can say very general, I want to work with people, but you got to narrow that down. Do you want to be a beautician or a mortician? You know, there's a wide range of ways to help and work with people. What are you good at? And so the other thing I would say is a fellow said to me a long time ago in making music, find your own voice. Find your own expression of what you do. Be true to that compass heading that God's putting. A lot of people try to influence you. Your dad wants you to be practical and go to business school. Yeah, I just ran into a friend a couple of days ago who won art contests in high school, but his dad told him, don't pursue art. There's no money there. And he didn't. He became a band director and stuff. And now he started painting again in the last couple of years. And his paintings are going for thousands of dollars. And his kids didn't even know he could draw. So he's come back around to being true to that gifting, and he has paintings that have gospel elements in them and music elements in them. And so he was wooed away from following, you know, finding his own voice early on, and he's come back around to it. So if you're 15 or 16, and I have right now a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old, I'm encouraging them to find their own voice and how they are unique in the Lord. And Willow's, both of them tend toward music. My son Wyatt is a great soccer player, athlete. I don't know if he'll get scholarships for that or not. We pray he does, and for music. So I would say learn to listen. Listen to your life and the things that, where your passions are stirred, the noble themes that come up in you, and find your own voice. Lord, what am I good at? Aim my life. aim my life, Lord. Yeah. And because there's a lot of people who will aim it for you,
yeah,
right? If you let them. And then you might be blessed to have one or two good teachers who come along and say, affirm you and say, boy, you are good at that. You need to pursue that. You're good at that.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on a key point that parents should keep in mind. It's not to, the solution for these young people isn't for the parents to be telling them where they should go. It's much more about affirming what they have as gifts.
Right.
And letting them become what they're going to become. Support them through that process.
Right. And the Proverbs are full of advice like that, you know, of a man's gift will set him before kings. And there's a lot of good proverbs about the words of our mouth, you know, are like honey. And so, yeah, I think there's so much peer pressure in to become certain things in our world that if you sit down and a kid goes, really, what do I want to do? Do I want to make films? Do I want to animate? Do I want to work for Compassion International? I want to see kids helped around the world. Where do your passions run? And if parents support that, you know, the Father in Heaven is a better father than any of us. He will give our children direction. He will aim their lives.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to turn back now to one other question I haven't asked, but I do want to know, what were the musical influences that helped you find your own voice?
Well, I grew up in a time when it was, you know, music was exploding. The Beatles had come over. James Taylor, of course, on the acoustic side. I really immersed myself in the singer-songwriter kind of thing. And, of course, I loved the pop. I loved, you know, Stevie Wonder's vocal ability and the Eagles, all that harmony, even some of the folk stuff. I loved Bob Dylan's sort of lyrical approach to, you know, to how deep his lyrics were and how creative. And then I began to discover some Christian music in the late 70s going, boy, who is this? Wow, this stuff is, you can actually sing about the Lord with this gifting. This is unbelievable. Other than the next wave came along, I really love Sting. Sting really changed a lot of chord colors and melodic lines in pop music, some more complexity. But I was really weaned on the singer-songwriter, the Jim Croces, the Paul Simon, Simon and Garfunkel, James Taylor, because I started on acoustic guitar. So all those influences, and my mother's albums, she had all the great, you know, Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, Debbie Carr, all these great big band era singers, and Elvis. And so I would hear this music, these chord orchestral chord colors. So I have, you know, I paint with Beatles kind of colors. I paint with different colors. But in the middle of that, you know, I still have to find my voice. We're all, you know, we emulate to learn. And then at some point we step out and say, no, I want to say it this way. And
yeah,
so you do your own thing.
Kind of like cooking. You use different spices to achieve your own unique flavor in
exactly.
the dish.
So. Exactly. It is, yeah, music is a lot like cooking and painting. You know, you choose the colors. You choose the colors. You choose the spices.
Now you're back into making an album here called Songs in the Key of Awe.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with that name?
Well, I've been immersed in Acts, and especially Acts 2 a while back, looking at that community of faith. And one of the things it said was, every time they came together, every soul was filled with awe. And I look at our culture here, we're very easy marks for wow, things that impress, you know, singers who have great voices, but they may be, you know, character as thin as a dime. We're easily prone to presentation and production. And so we can be wowed, you know, wow them and they will come. And churches get into this too. We have, you know, all the big screens and lights and bang, shang, a lang guitars. And if we do it excellent, they will come. But I heard a fellow say a few years ago to a bunch of worship leaders, don't trade anointing for production. It's still all about the power of the gospel, the Holy Spirit showing up. And you can have all the bells and whistles, the Lord not show up. You can have the finest guitarist in town. You can have. So we tend to be impressed by wow, and really our lives need to be drawn to the awe of the Lord. So I tell our worship team at home, you know, we're here to amplify the awe, not to impress people about how good we are vocally or good we are instrumentally. We want to do that well, but we want to stay out of the way and point to the fact that we're in awe of Him, what He's, who He is, what He's done, what He's made, what He's revealed, and how much He loved us, that He gave Himself for us. That's still the power. It's not our presentation. It's His presence.
If you were to synthesize down the theme that runs through this whole album, would it be that?
It's the awe of the Lord. And I hope this, and if you listen to it from top to bottom, I've done a couple of short instrumentals with just acoustic guitar and piano that Will and I wrote, just to give it a break. There's no lyric, a minute and a half, so you can have a reverent moment or a silent moment or a contemplative moment before the next song starts. People don't do that on the records anymore. It's just, you know, it's a single song delivery thing and bang, 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 here comes the songs. So there's a pacing on this that I hope is a worshipful experience that draws you into the awe of the Lord and an intimacy with God. There's a song in here called I Am, You Are Here. It's about Him being, you know, our personal Emmanuel. He's with us in the darkest valley, in the deepest sorrow, and He's with you as you listen to this. I've tried to craft it as a worship experience, though you can go to any one song and listen to it and enjoy it. I want people to rekindle the awe of the Lord and not the wow of even the music or the production or the wow of that the world brings. The difference for me in wow and awe is you walk through New York City and look up at the buildings, you go, wow.
Yeah.
But if you stand at the Grand Canyon, you are in awe.
Yeah, there's a big difference there.
There's a big difference.
So are you planning on any road trips with this album, or are you?
Well, if people call me, yeah, I want to get out. I want to get Willow out singing and ministering, and we're launching. We're actually, I've been invited to do a few of these things. We're launching what we're calling overflow worship workshops. And I want to come in on Friday nights and work with the worship team, and Saturday teach, prepare for worship on Sunday. And Compassion International has partnered with me to do this. They're going to underwrite part of the honorarium so I can get into churches. And because part of what I teach is worship as a lifestyle. It's not just the music we do. Worship is, we're supposed to be present our bodies as living sacrifices daily for each other. And that's your service of worship unto the Lord. It's 24/7. We're sitting here. You're using your gift in worship to the Lord, in service of the Lord. I want to go in and teach this kind of thing, some nuts and bolts about worship, the colors we paint with, you know, how to use silence in worship, reverence, not just bang, shang, and lang, let's right. All celebrate, confession, meditation, scripture reading, all kinds of colors we can paint with in worship, and then lead worship on Sundays and pitch child sponsorships for Compassion so that our lives actually do overflow into the world in doing the things that are close to God's heart. So I want to launch these overflow. If your church wants to bring me in, you can go to my website, billysprague.com, and go to the overflow page and find out more about these workshops.
Okay, so if they go to your website, they can find out about that, and they can also find out about where this album will be released.
Right. It's going to be it'll be released later in the spring. The first single is out, Life Begins Now. And the second single, I'm a little prejudiced, I want to release the song Overflow because Willow sings it.
Yes. I think that that's a wonderful thing for you to have an opportunity to have your daughter sing with.
Absolutely. It's such a joy. I'd rather sing harmony to her now.
Well, that's really great. We're coming down to the end of our time here, and well, thank you very much for that. It's true, you know. The best way to see the strength of God is when He does something for you in your own life.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and as we say on this, let's keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.